doing that. This morning, we're going to talk about Stephen. We're doing a series of the book of Acts. And this morning, we'll talk about what is in you will come out of you. What is inside of you will come out of you. Stephen was one of the first deacons. He was selected to be a deacon. And after he helped the food ministry, we talked about the importance of the food ministry, God used Stephen to bring healing to some people who were sick. And you would have thought that everybody around him would have been celebrated that Stephen was used to heal. But if you hear last week, that's not what happened. People were jealous of Stephen, and it says they got people to lie about Stephen, and they roused some bad people who made false allegations against Stephen to a point he was arrested and put on trial. So here's a man, all he did was bring healing to the sick, and now he's on trial, and this morning we're going to see the trial of Stephen and what happened to him. So look at Acts chapter 7. We're going to start out reading verses 1 and 2. It says, the high priest, this is the religious leader of the day, this is a powerful man. He wasn't just a priest of a little Catholic church. He was the priest of the temple in Jerusalem, very powerful man. He could have you arrested. The high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? And this was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. Now, I want to spare you, because Stephen gives a message, a defense in front of the Jewish council, and it's 50 verses long, okay? 50 verses. And I thought if I start reading 50 verses, I would lose your attention. But here's what I want to ask you to do. It's an incredible message that Stephen, he talks about how God moved through Abraham, then God moved through Joseph, and God moved through Moses, and God moved through David, and he delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt and brought them to the land. You need to read it. But here's what's amazing to me. See, what's inside of you will come out of you. Stephen is falsely accused. People are lying about him. Now he's in front of this group of people, and he's being questioned about something he didn't do. He was basically being poked, right? And what's amazing to me about Stephen, catch this, when he was being poked, the word of God came out of him. He didn't get defensive. He didn't get angry. He didn't curse. When he was poked, when he was under pressure, when he was falsely accused, what came out of him was the word of God. Here's what I know. If the word of God came out of Stephen, that means at some point the word of God came into Stephen. Because what's inside of you will come out of you. Let me ask you this. When you're poked at work, or when you're poked at home, or when you're poked by someone, what comes out of you? Does the word of God come out of you, or does anger come out of you? Does the word of God come out of you, or does cursing come out of you? Does the word of God come out of you, or you get real defensive and all that? See, what's inside of you when you're poked, when you're under pressure, when you're falsely accused, when you're mistreated, what is inside of you will naturally come out. See, for Stephen, this was not a prepared message. When you read it this week, please read chapter 7, 1 through 50. It wasn't a prepared message. Stephen did not know that day when he woke up that he was going to be arrested and have to give a defense for his life. We'll see here. Stephen's life was at stake. But when he woke up that morning, he didn't know that. He didn't know he was going to be arrested. He didn't know he was going to be questioned. It was just a regular day like any other day, like tomorrow will be for you. Just a regular day. You get up on Monday morning and you go to work and you do your business. But when you're poked, when you're under pressure, when someone mistreats you, when someone falsely accuses you, when someone does something unjust to you, that's when you know what's inside of you will come out of you. And it's absolutely amazing to me that with Stephen, he didn't get defensive. He didn't get angry. You know, man, I was told by a mentor when I was a young man that if men can control two things in their life, when it comes to God, you'll be okay. That was anger and lust. That if a man can control his anger and if a man can control his lust, you're going to be okay. Is it amazing that when Stephen was poked, when Stephen was treated unjustly, he didn't get angry? He didn't curse the high priest out? He didn't do it? No, the word of God came out of him. I mean, for 50 verses, Stephen is quoting the Old Testament. For 50 verses, he's talking about Abraham, and he's talking about Moses, and he's talking about David, and he's talking about the temple being built by Solomon. I mean, the word of God came out of Stephen. So I want to ask you again, what comes out of you? What comes out of me? When it's easy when you're prepared, right? If you know someone, you ever been in one of those conversations, you know they're going to be difficult, you can kind of be prepared for it and behave real good. It's when you're caught off guard. It's when someone runs you off the road. It's when someone, you know, does certain things at work. When your boss mistreats you. What's inside of you, when that happens, will come out of you. And I'm not saying this to condemn you. Here's my motive this morning. I don't know about you, but I want sweetness to come out of me when I'm poked. I want kindness to come out of me when I'm poked. I want God's word to come out of me when I'm poked. I want mercy to come out of me when I'm poked. I don't want anger. I don't want cursing. I don't want to be defensive. I want to the fruit of the Spirit. I want the nature of Jesus to come out of me. When I'm under pressure, when I'm mistreated, I don't want the flesh to come out of me. See, it's not about being feeling guilty about how we are. It's having a vision of who I want to be. I want to be like Stephen. I want to have so much of the Word of God in me that when I'm poked, the Word of God comes out of me. And listen, the only way that will happen, the only way the Word of God will come out of you when you're poked is for you to spend time in the Word of God before you're poked. If you're never reading your Bible, if you're never in church, or your church attendance is kind of wishy-washy, you hear something. Listen, if you don't get the Word of God in you, do you know when you're poked what's going to come out of you? Your flesh. You've got to feed your spirit. You got to feed your spirit with the Word of God. See, Stephen, it doesn't tell us, but listen, I know if Stephen, first of all, to him to know all those verses, he had to spend time in the Bible. And there's no way he could have said all those things in Acts chapter 7 if he had not spent time in the Bible. And I want you to know, we want you to spend time in the Word of God. Sunday morning is not enough. You have got to, on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, spend time in the Word of God, because what's in you, but what? Come out of you. You know, we've given away over 400 one-year Bibles for free. This Bible is split up in daily Bible reading. I've been doing it since 1988. I love it. If you don't have one, they're back in the lobby, and you can get one for free. And my wife and I, every morning on the church's Facebook page, the church app, and our personal Facebook pages, we put on a one-minute devotional from that day's Bible reading. Why? Because we want you to read the Word of God and then watch that devotional, because if you'll get the Word of God in you, then when you're poked, it'll come out of you. Do you know what else will happen if you got the Word of God in you? When someone at work or a family member asks you a question about the Bible, you just might know the answer. You ever been in a situation where there's a spiritual conversation and you think, man, I wish I knew what to say? Do you know how to learn what to say? Spend time in the Word of God, because what's inside of you will come out of you. If you're never putting the Word in you, then it cannot and will not come out of you. You remember when you were in college and you didn't study for the test? I went to a Christian college, so I did what was holy. I didn't study. I was like, oh God, please help me pass this test. You ever done that? Oh God, I don't know any of the answers, but you, your Holy Spirit, they know the answers. Please, supernaturally, give me the answers to this exam. You know what? God never did it. He never did it. Because what was inside of me came out of me. If I didn't study for the exam, I didn't have the answers in me. When it was time for the exam, the answers didn't come out of me. Does that make sense? How many of you know that there's tests in life? And you never know. How many know the world operates on pop quizzes? I hated pop quizzes. Remember those? When you got the quiz, you didn't know ahead of time there was going to be a quiz. You ever had a pop quiz in life? How about you know Mandy Phelps is facing a pop quiz right now? Her husband in 1 minute, just boom, gone. Gone. Go to work and be laid off in a moment. Go to the doctor and get a bad medical report in a moment. Your boss mistreats you treats you poorly, maybe even someone in the church hurts your feelings. And in those moments, what is inside of you will come out of you. So if you want the Word of God to come out of you when you face a pop quiz in life, there's only one way for that to happen, and that's to get the Word of God in you. So number one, be a person of God's Word. Number two, this scares me. Look at verse 51 of chapter 7. Again, you need to read the 50 verses on your own. I really encourage you to read that this week. But look at verse 51. Stephen tells the council, "You stubborn people, you heathen at heart and deaf to the truth, must you," look at this phrase, "forever resist the Holy Spirit." Must you forever resist the Holy, you know what this means? It's possible for you to resist God's work in your life. Say it again. It's possible for you to resist God's work in your life. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is operating in your life. And listen, what Stephen was saying here, these were religious leaders. These were not non-religious people Stephen was talking to. These were the leaders of the temple of Jerusalem, and he looked at those religious people and said, "You are resisting the Holy Spirit, and you've been resisting the Holy Spirit for decades." That's what David said. And if they are capable of resisting, just because you attend church doesn't mean you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe there's a sin in your life that God's been dealing with you to take care of, and you don't take care of it. Or maybe God's been convicting you about starting to read. You're like, "I know I should read my Bible. I know. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you and convicting you to get in the Word of God, but you can resist. You can learn to resist. And here's what happens. Listen. The more you resist the Holy Spirit, the harder your heart gets. The more you resist the Holy Spirit, the harder your heart gets. The more you resist the Holy Spirit's advancement of saying, "Come spend time with me and pray. Come spend time with me in your word. Get involved in church. Hey, you need a volunteer for that VBS because you know ministering to kids are important." Maybe even during that announcement, you felt a little tug in your heart going, "I know that's something we ought to do." And the more you resist the Holy Spirit, the harder your heart can get. And I want to encourage you, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I've learned in my life? The Holy Spirit rarely yells. Most of the time, he whispers. The Holy Spirit rarely yells. Most of the time, he whispers. Just the other day, I was kind of busy doing some things, and I felt in my heart, "Hey, Kevin, come away and pray." Now, I'm a pastor. I'm in my office here at the church. But I had things to do. So I had this conflict going on. Come away. Felt like the Holy Spirit was wanting me to spend some time praying and interceding for some people. Have you ever had that conflict of like, "I know God wants me to spend time with him. I know he," see, he tends to woo and he whispers. He doesn't yell. And here's, so you should say, "Well, Pastor, I've never experienced God that way." Listen, you need to begin to listen because God is speaking. God is a God who speaks, and he will speak to you by the Holy Spirit. And the more you respond yes to the Holy Spirit, the more he'll speak to you. But when you resist or oppose or, it's the same way in a relationship. You know, I've seen marriages turn bad because spouses begin to resist the advancements of the other spouse. Maybe they know the relationship's not where it wants to be, and maybe one of the spouses begins to reach out and try to woo the other partner to bring healing and health back to the marriage, but the other partner resists those whispers, resists the wooings, and what happens to that relationship when one of the partners begin to resist? They get further apart, don't they? Further apart. Listen, the same thing can happen to you with your relationship with God. When you begin to resist spending time with God, when you begin to resist the promptings of the Holy Spirit of saying, "You know what? I've asked you to do something. You need to do it. You don't need to wait. You don't need to procrastinate." When God says do something, it's yes, sir, salute, right? We obey God. And the more you begin to negotiate with God, the more you begin trying to manipulate God, the more you're trying to reason with God. Listen, those whispers get quieter and quieter and quieter. Because the Bible says you can wound, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You know that? You have the power to grieve, to cause God to mourn. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. You could do that. So Stephen says you resist the Holy Spirit. He goes, that's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute and even kill the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, and even though you receded through the hands of angels. And look what happened in verse 54. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation that they resisted the Holy Spirit and persecute the prophets. And they shook their fist in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, again, what's in you will come out of you. Look at this. Gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And look at this, this is an important phrase. And he saw Jesus standing in place of honor at God's right hand. We'll come back to that. Jesus stood up at the place of honor, God's right, and Stephen told them, I see heavens open. And the Son of Man, or Jesus, standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. And they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city, began to stone Stephen. They are killing Stephen. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later in the Bible became Paul. And they stoned Stephen to death. But look at this. As Stephen was dying, look at the Bible. Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew he was dying. He's getting ready to breathe his last breath. And then Stephen fell on his knees and he shouted. Here's the last words that Stephen ever said. The last words that Stephen ever spoke. Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. What's in you will come out of you. How many stones do you think it took to kill Stephen? They drug that man out of the city. It's desert. They start picking up stones. Do you think one stone did it? I don't. Two stones? Three stones? Stephen's being pelted. These people, now think about it. The people who are stoning Stephen are religious people of the day. How hard did their hearts get? Can you imagine one stone hitting Stephen on the side of the head and they see blood gush out, but they don't stop, they keep stoning him? Can you imagine when Stephen's laying there writhing in pain and moaning, but they don't stop? How hard? These are religious people. These are people who took care of the temple. I'm telling you, friends, when you begin to resist the Holy Spirit, your heart can get hard. I don't want a hard heart. You may not be at the point of committing murder. These people committed murder. You may not be at the point of committing murder, but you know what? If you resist the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, your heart can turn from a heart of flesh to a heart of stone. You get so hardened, you'll do things you never thought you'll do. You'll say things you never thought you would say, and you'll go places you never thought you would go. There was a time you were hot for God. There was a time you were living with Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But now you look at yourself, and you think, I'm so far from where I was. I'm so, why? Because your heart got hard. But Stephen, even as he's being pelted with stones, he says, God, he shouted this so the people who were killing him could hear it. God, do not hold this against them. What a man of God. What is in you, when you're being stoned, will come out of you. What's in you when you're being hurt will come out of you. What's in you when you're treated unjustly will come out of you. And I love this phrase. Stephen talked about that when they were stoning him, he gazed up in heaven. Remember that? And he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus is now sitting on the throne at the right hand of God. So here's God and Jesus on his right hand. And when Stephen starts being murdered, you know what happened? Jesus stood up in honor. Stephen. See, Stephen was the first martyr of the early church. He's the first person who died because of his faith in Jesus in the book of Acts. in the New Testament. And Jesus, who said, this is Jesus, the Son of God. He's sitting on a throne in heaven next to God the Father. But when Stephen's being stoned, Jesus, in honor of Stephen, stood up. You know what, friend? When I breathe my last breath, when I close my eyes the last time, you know what's not going to be important? It's what kind of car I drove, or how many square feet my house was, or how much money I had in my 401k, or how popular I was, or how many followers I had on social media. None of that's going to be meaningful. You know what? When I die, I want Jesus to stand up. When I die, I don't care if I'm honored by man. I want to be honored by God. See, Stephen was alone that day. There was no man standing by Stephen. He had no family by him. He had no friends by him. He is completely and inhumanly alone. But you know what? He wasn't alone. Because when he was being stoned, Jesus took notice. And he stood up. And I want to be honored. I love this woman. I want her to honor me. And I love my kids and my grandkids. And yes, I want to be honored by them. But if I have all that, but Jesus doesn't honor me, I have nothing when it comes to eternity. Nothing really matters. Nothing really lasts unless Jesus. Let me ask, is Jesus honored by your life today? Are you living a God-honoring life? Are you living a life that Jesus has taken notice of? And listen, here's how it happens. What's inside of you will come out of you. The reason Stephen was able to quote the Word of God, because he had the Word of God inside of him. And the reason Stephen was able at the end of his life say, God, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them. Because he had the fruit of the Spirit inside of him. We see at the end of Stephen's life, that's what's inside of you will come out of you. And I want to encourage you this morning, start putting the right stuff inside of you. Start getting into the Word. In the fall, we're starting a ministry called the Discipleship Ministry and a Marriage Ministry, where the Word of God through those two ministries will get inside of you. Listen, be a part of the discipleship journey and be a part of the marriage ministry, because what's inside of you will come out of you. I want to encourage you tomorrow morning, get your one-year Bible and just begin to read. We're actually reading the book of Acts in the one-year Bible right now. What I'm preaching on Sundays, you'll be reading right now in your Bible if you're reading your one-year Bible. Start putting the Word of God in you. Start spending time in His presence. If there's sin in your life, if you know you're doing something that doesn't honor God, now is the time to stop it. Now is the time to clean it up. Because one day, see, Shane Phelps this last week, he didn't know it was his day. He's flying into Springfield, Missouri to help train new missionaries. He didn't know it was his day. And I'm not here, listen, you know, I don't use scare tactics, and I'm not here to guilt you. I'm just saying, we don't know. You're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. None of us are promised tomorrow. I just know when it comes to the end of my life, and I hope it's a long time from now, I want Jesus to stand up. I wrote a few things down that what causes people's hearts to get hard. First one I wrote down was offense. You get your feelings hurt many times by someone in the church. You know, friends, if you live by human beings, you're gonna get offended. You just are. People are people. Most people who offend me, I don't think mean to offend me. I don't think they're even thinking about me. But every once in a while, someone will do something or say something, and I'll be like, man, why, you know what I'm saying? Number two, sometimes people do mistreat you. It's injustice. Maybe you've been a victim. Can I encourage you, if you've been a victim in your life, don't give them the double win. You know what the double win is? Number one, they treat you bad in the first place. But number two, you let your heart get so hard, and you get so hard, they get the double win. They beat you twice. I've got a friend of mine that's been treated really wrongly. They live in Ohio, but they've been treated really badly by some people. He goes, what's your advice for me? I said, don't give them the double win. They've already treated you bad, but don't let it get so in your heart that you get bitter and you get hard and you get cynical, because then they win twice. Can I just say, if someone's hurt you, don't give them the double win. Keep your heart soft. You know, the next thing that will cause your heart to get hard for God? Sin. Disobedience. You cannot live in sin and have a soft heart with God at the same time. Can't do it. Number four is pride. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Number five is disappointment. Sometimes life doesn't turn out like you thought it would. That ever happened to you? You thought life would be this way, and life doesn't turn out like you thought, and you get disappointed? Don't let your heart grow hard. Another reason people's heart grows hard towards God is love of the world. You just love the world. You love the fame. You love the party. You love the thing, and your heart gets hard. And lastly is neglecting spiritual practices, neglecting the word of God in prayer. If you neglect spending time with God, over time, your heart will grow hard. But how about you? I don't want my heart to grow hard. I want, when I breathe my last breath, I want, when I close my eyes for the last time, I hope my wife's with me. I don't mean that. I hope I go before Kathy because I'm pitiful without her. So, you know, I'm kind of like, let me go first on that. But I'm hope Kathy's by my side. And I hope my kids and grandkids and someday great-grandkids are around me. When that happens, I kind of want that. I hope I'm with you as we do life together as a church. Hope all of that. But in the end, I want you to have a vision for the end of your life. In the end, all that's great. But in the end, when I breathe my last breath, and I close my eyes for the last time, I hope I see Jesus standing up, don't you? Will you bow your head and close your eyes? First step of having Jesus stand up at the end of your days is to accept him as your Savior. It's repenting of your sins. That word repent means you turn, and you turn your life aground and you begin to live to God. There may be some here who have never accepted Christ. You've never done that. Or maybe some here have said, you know, I did. Maybe at a VBS when you're a kid or a camp or something like that, but you know you're far from God today. You know you're not living right today. And you say, today I want to get my life right. Maybe your heart's just grown hard. Maybe you just honestly say, my heart has grown hard against God, and you know you need to get your heart right with God. If you're here this morning, that's you. I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand really high? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Pastor, I want to get my life hard. There's one. Thank you. Is there another? Anyone else this morning? You know your heart's grown hard, or you're away from God, and you want to get right with God today. Is there anyone? I see that hand, sir. Thank you. I see that hand, sir. Thank you. Been three. Is there another? You know you've gotten away from Jesus. You know you've gotten away. Okay. You know how we do. I'm going to pray. I want everybody to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, but I know I've sinned against you. There's things in my life that ought not be. And I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross and he rose again. And I commit my life to Jesus. I will walk with you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen.